This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Perek Ches, Mishnah Gimel. We learned in the previous Mishnah that if an intact halacha kli was partially lowered into a tanur, the halacha is that the interior of the kli is considered as separate and distinct from the interior of the tanur, and thus, if there was, let's say, a sheretz in the kli, the tanur does not become tame. Conversely, if there was a sheretz at the bottom of the tanur, food inside of the kli does not become tame. For such tumah transmission occurs only where the tumah source of the food that potentially could become tame is betoch the klicheres, is in the interior of the klicheres, as opposed to here where the tumah source or what could become tame is betoch toch. It's inside of something which itself is inside of the klicheres. In such a case, no tumah transmission occurs. The Mishnah presents another case and considers whether the aforementioned principle applies here. That is, we have here Sarida, a kind of earthenware plate, Shehi Nesuna al pi hatanur, that was placed upon the opening at the top of a tanur earthenware oven. The plate has a kind of concave shape such that Vishokasta socho. The middle of the plate sinks somewhat into the airspace of the tanur oven. But Ve'ein lo gapayim. This Srida plate has no rim. Thus, it's not a kli in its own right. You can't consider it a klicheres that's makabel tumah because it has no base kibul. If it had a rim, then fine. It has a receptacle, it could contain things, then we could talk about this as a kli in its own right. But that's not the case here. It's essentially a flat plate, has a concave shape, but it's not a proper container, and so not a kli that's makabel tumah. Thus, the Mishnah rules, as sheretz b'socham, if a sheretz is placed in the middle of the plate, so that physically that sheretz is within the airspace of the tanur oven, the halacha is a tanur tame. The tanur becomes tame. And conversely, a sheretz betanur, if there was a sheretz inside of the tanur itself, on the floor of the tanur, let's say, and some food in the middle of this plate that's resting on top of the tanur, achlam shebesocha tamein, that food does become tame. For since the sheretz in the first case, the food in the second case, is not inside of a halacha kli, which is inside of a tanur. It's therefore simply considered to be a sheretz or food that's inside of a tanur. And so we apply the regular rules of tumah transmission of a tanur. And so in the first case, we say since the sheretz is within the airspace of the tanur is tameh. In the second case, we say since this food is within the airspace of a tanur which became tame, the food as a result becomes tame. And the Mishnah articulates the underlying principle here, and that is that she'ein matzilim miyad klicheres elekelim. We can only shield from tumah that happens in a klicheres on the basis of this principle of a toch avetoch, inside something which is inside something, in a case where the first layer of inside is a halachic kli. Thus, if you have, let's say, an intact basket, like in the previous Mishnah, that's partially lowered into a klicheres, then we say that whatever's inside of the basket is not considered to be klicheres. Of course, physically it is, but what we're saying is that since it's inside of a kli, which is inside of the klicheres, it's not subject to these laws which depend on, you know, where the thing has to be simply betoch the klicheres, not toch of toch. But again, that concept only applies if you're dealing with where the thing is inside of a halachic kli, which is inside a kli cheres. Since in the above case, the thing that the sheretz or food that's inside of is not a halachic kli, the principle doesn't apply. Now, over and over in the Masechta, we mentioned the law that when it comes to a kli cheres, tumah is conducted in its airspace. So, for example, if one suspends a sheretz inside of a kli cheres, even though it doesn't touch any of the walls, the kli cheres becomes tameh. Similarly, if food is suspended within a tame klicheres, the food becomes tame, simply by virtue of being within the airspace, the avir of the klicheres. The question is, where does the avir of a klicheres begin and end? So to clarify this point, the Mishnah presents the following case. We have chavis shehimalei mashkin tahorin, a barrel full of tahor liquids, unesuna lamata minechushto shel tanur, which is placed below the floor of a tanur earthenware oven. We see a frequency in this Pesachta where the Mishnah uses more like kind of exotic terms We have an example of that here, where instead of simply referring to the karkayas, the floor of the tanner, the Mishnah uses this term, nechushto. The Rav quotes the pasuk from Sefer Yecheskel, where we find this language being used to refer to the floor. In any event, so we have a barrel that has tar liquid in it that's within the floor of a tanner. Sheretz b'tanner, if there's a sheretz in the tanner, so that, of course, the tanner becomes tamei. The barrel and the liquids therein are spared, do not become tameh. Even though the barrel in question is directly opened to the tanur, it's right beneath it, it's open to it. Yet we do not say that the barrel is considered to be in the avir, in the airspace of the tanur, for that airspace only extends to the ground of the tanur, not to something that's opened beneath the ground, such as you have a pit in this tanner, in the middle of it, even though that opens directly into the bottom of the tanner, it's not considered avir of the tanner there, and therefore no tumah transmission happens. Now, the detail here that there's liquid in the barrel is crucial. That's the only way the Mishnah is able to really make its point, because there's no question that the barrel can't become tameh, for even if the barrel were literally placed inside of the tanner, the barrel by itself without liquid would not become tameh. Because a tamei kli cheres doesn't have the capacity to be metame a kli. But here, there's liquid in the barrel. And so if this barrel with liquid were considered to be in the avir of the tanur, the liquid, of course, would become tamei. And then that would trigger the rabbinic decree of Thomas Mashkin, which says that we essentially treat a tamei liquid as if it's an avatoma. And so the result would be that the barrel, too, would become tamei. But again, the Mishnah says that since liquid is not actually considered to be within the airspace of the tanur, it doesn't become tameh, and so the liquid in the barrel remain tahor. The Mishnah now makes a similar point with regards to the upper end of a tanur's airspace. That is, let's say, haisa kifuya fia la'avir tanur, of a barrel that was virtually empty, upside down with its mouth sticking into the airspace of a tanur from the top. The Mishnah rules here too, a sheretz b'tanur, if there's a sheretz inside the tanur, so that makes the tanur tameh. The halacha is, the mashka tofeach shebeshu le'achav is tahar. If there were some remnant droplets of liquid that were sticking to the bottom of the barrel, which is now, at the top, the barrel's upside down. So it's at the top part of the barrel, you have little droplets stuck to the ceiling of the barrel there. The halacha is that those droplets remain tahar. For the barrel that the droplets are sticking to does not become tameh, for as mentioned, a kli cheres cannot make another kli tameh, only food. So this kli, this barrel, remains tahar, and the droplets also remain tahar, because although they face directly the airspace of the tanner below, they're not actually in the airspace of the tanner, so they do not become tameh. Once again, if they would become tameh, then we would have the special decree of Tumas Mashkin, and the barrel then would also become tameh. If that doesn't happen, the droplets are not inside of the airspace of the barrel, so they're not tameh, and so the barrel droplets remain tahar.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.